Hello, this is Erica Busterhaney with Whispers from the Heart Radio, where we bridge your heart with the spirit world. I would like to say I am so excited to be on this network, BBS Radio, and I hope that all of my followers come and listen each Sunday as I broadcast from 11 to 11:55 Eastern, and for those that are Central Standard Time like me, that'll be from 10 to 11 p.m. Central. I am excited about our guest tonight because those that follow me know I love accents. I don't care where you're from, I just love accents. And our guest tonight, it wouldn't be psychic of me to say that he is from England because his accent would give it away. My guest tonight is Graham Williamson. He is an English and U.S. trained intuitive medium. And he sounds a lot like, you know, some of those famous psychics that we like from England with the spiky hair. I don't know if you know who she might be. Lisa Williams, hello. He has appeared in psychic fairs and expos across the area, especially in Florida, and done a lot in England. And Graham is currently doing paranormal investigations, working on more education because he wouldn't just stop with being trained by one of the best psychic mediums in England. He definitely wanted to go on and continue. Welcome to the show, Graham.
Thank you, Erica.
You know, I was going to say that I was psychic because I knew that you were from England, but I figured the intro would give it away.
I don't know what you mean there, Hen.
So tell me a little bit about growing up psychic. Was this something that, you know, a lot of people are kind of, I say, catching a trend or catching a new hobby where they're interested in psychic phenomena or paranormal phenomena. Are you catching a hobby or were you kind of born in a family with these abilities?
Well, I was born in a family with these abilities and didn't realize that my abilities were different from the norm until I was about 6 years of age. You know, I didn't see anything wrong in talking to things at the end of the garden that nobody else could see because I could see them plainly enough and they talked to me, I talked to them. Everyday sort of thing for a 5-year-old, 6-year-old.
That's very interesting because we talk a lot about psychic ability and how it changes over time. And I hear so many people say, oh, I wish I could go back to when I was a child. And, you know, biologically, the rods in the eyes change as well as time, you know, time goes. And people have said that maybe that is one of the factors that causes, especially with the clairvoyance, to kind of go away. But at 5 and 6, you said you were seeing things. When you went to your family and expressed this, you know, I would imagine, you know, some families would say, oh, no, you're not seeing that. You know, you're going mad. How did your family react to that?
Well, I have to explain a bit. My mother was called a rescue medium, which basically is somebody who dies traumatically, doesn't realize they have passed over to the other side, hence the term ghosts that hang around over traumatic areas. And my mother used to go to the Church of England, her local pastor with her father, and help rescue these souls to God, to the light. And she stopped doing all this when she had 5 children. And we all knew Mum had a gift, but she never really demonstrated the rescue side of it, but the everyday paranormal side was everyday sort of behavior. You know the phone's going to ring before it actually did, or somebody's going to knock on the door, or, oh, hang on a minute, I'll do that for you because you wanted me to do it. And, you know, all little things that everybody says, oh, it's a hunch. Well, over the years, these hunches became everyday occurrences. And by the age of 7, I was saying to my mum, why do I get these hunches that nobody else does? And why are these other kids looking at me? What are you talking about? There's somebody standing next to them and they can't see them. So my mother basically sat us all down and said, well, look, here's the ABC of the paranormal around us. And we each pick up or not pick up what we feel comfortable with. Well, me, I'm interested in everything. So I picked up a little bit more than everybody else. They just want to see one thing or another. So basically, that's how I got into spiritual, psychic phenomena.
That's fascinating because we were just talking on Facebook just recently, and I am on Facebook under my name, Erica Busarhaney, which I know is very difficult to spell and say three times fast in a row, but mm-hmm. that Facebook information is also on my host page, so please check that out. But we were talking about the 2020 show that just recently aired, and they had the children that were seeing imaginary things, and they were having a lot of behaviors, and most of those children were diagnosed as paranoid, schizophrenic, or schizophrenic at very young ages. And it made me think, you know, how much of our children in this country are medicated and maybe misdiagnosed because their families aren't as aware as your mother and possibly father and family members had been of paranormal activity. So that's just something to think about for our listeners out there when your children come to you and say, I'm seeing the imaginary. Now, there are cases, because I've pretty much majored in psychology, there are cases, obviously, when that is a different circumstance. But as a parent, you know, as relatives, listen to those children, because a lot of times, if they're seeing Uncle Bob, you know, they're usually able to tell you what he looked like or what the message is. So I think that's remarkable that you were in a family where that was facilitated and that was explained so it wasn't so taboo and you didn't shut off, which a lot of us have done because of the stigmas in society.
Yeah, well, I at a very early age called myself a black sheep because everybody else wanted to group together and say, you're strange. Well, I like being strange because I knew things to safeguard my life. I listened and I didn't get into serious trouble because I listened to my instinct. Because we all have basic what we call caveman instincts. But can you imagine a caveman walking into a cave saying, ah, I'm not going to listen to my instinct. That cave looks safe. Let's go into there. Saber-toothed tiger, breakfast, walking through the door. And so I learned to listen to my instincts, and I started passing on to other people, you know, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And I go, oh, no. Is that possible? Well, it is. Everybody, as you say, has this possibility of opening up the psychic ability. You've just got to listen to it. We all know when you walk in a room where there's been a big argument or something's wrong. Well, that's a hunch that you feel in the guts. And when you listen to that, it sort of grows through the whole body and you become more aware, more in tune with things that are not quite visible to everybody else.
That's quite interesting that your mother was a rescue medium, which probably is a term used in England, but in the U.S. we would probably call her a cold case medium or a psychic detective or a psychic that's used by law enforcement to read residual energy either in a crime scene or to help people, like you said, that are in limbo that don't really know because of tragic circumstances of their death that they may not know that they've passed. Do you find that you mentioned about people sensing, having their hunches, being in locations, being around people where they may feel something? Do you think those abilities now are starting to reawaken more? And if so, why do you feel that's happening? Is it television and the new?
Oh, yeah, the media. The media feeds on the same energy that we all feed on, the electrical impulses that are around everything. Mediums tend to talk about the auric energy that expands from beyond the body shell. And the electrical energies are all intermingling. And watching the Whisperer and all the other excellent programs on TV, you know, people are becoming more aware that, well, is it just a TV show or is it real? And then they start experiencing little things themselves. When they become more in tune with what they are watching, if they enjoy it, then that sort of breaks down the mental barriers, as it were. And I think really the media really is helping.
Yeah, I agree. You see more psychics in the main front. You see a lot of the paranormal television shows. You know, here we have the Paranormal Challenge. We've had Psychic Kids. We've had Paranormal State. All of the haunting shows that have come on to talk about different experiences, My Ghost Story. And I think that this has kind of brought this out of the woo-woo. It's brought ability and paranormal and these circumstances out of the woo and the bad and the, you know, demonic and all of these other things. And people have starting to open up and talk about the ghosts that they may have seen or the tingles that they may have felt as they grieved over a loved one. And I think that a lot of people have kind of come out what I call the psychic closet, okay? And they have said, look, I've got some abilities. I've got some hunches. You know, you may be a police officer, you may have the blue sense, or you may have mother's intuition. But they're saying, look, these things have been going on for years, and now it's time for me to figure out what they are and how can I use my abilities to interact in my everyday life. For you, what made you, because you were trained by your mother to some degree, and then you trained in England, did you start to look for a teacher? For me, I looked for Sandy Anastasi, plug, plug. I felt like John Edwards learned from her, and I said, well, I wanted to go to the top. So if John Edwards was the top at that time and he, you know, she taught him, then Sandy Anastasi was going to teach me. So I definitely recommend her course. Tell me what you're using or what you have used for these people that are awakening and wanting to get these latent psychic talents up in the forefront.
Ooh, that's a tough one in a way because, as I say, I've been doing this since I was seven, consciously understanding that what my mother taught me was this, the ABC, from D all the way through to Z to work out, then zero all the way up to multi-millions of lessons. The best way to describe it is whatever felt good to me when somebody asked me a question about spirit or about, do you know, somebody died the other day, and I said, oh yeah, a lady. Yeah, and she died from a heart thing, wasn't it? But I said, that wasn't what killed her. It was such and such. And they say, why do you know? I said, I don't. I'm just being told this. And it's difficult to actually put into layman terms. But as I said earlier about the gut instinct, I just feel comfortable opening my mouth and trusting what I am given by not necessarily guides, but voices in my mind, voices in my head, or whatever you want to term them as. I call them spirit guides.
Okay.
And these guides, over the years, I trust beyond everyday sort of things because I've lived with them all my life. I've been involved in car accidents. I've been involved in things that I should not have walked away from because my gut said, stay perfectly still. A bullet went past. Walk round this corner, a bomb went behind me. Sit on this side of the car, not the normal side you sit, and we rolled over three times and I got out without a scratch. How? Spirit will guide you every step of the way of your life if you listen to what your gut's instincts tell you. And I thought, well, there's not many people on TV at the moment when I was a child, but I read all about my mum's exploits from the local pastor, and they were saying, oh, there's some good mediums in the Midlands where I lived. I lived in Derby, I was born there, but I lived all around the Midlands. And I went over to churches, and just any church, and I listened to how people talk about beliefs. I thought, but nobody's mentioned about this spirit walking across in the pews. I better keep my mouth shut because this particular church doesn't like spirit phenomena being talked about or demonstrated in their service. I thought, why? So I went over to other places and found other mediums that were local to me. There weren't world famous ones, but they were local famous. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And they are the people, the grassroots of the spiritual awakening within me. Every single person I encountered gave me another facet of the truth I felt comfortable with.
And I always say that, and this is so true, that every time you interact with someone, they're going to either teach you something or you're going to teach them something, and then you move on. And then you know, people say to me all the time, well, will you mentor me? Will you teach me? And I say, when the student is ready, the teacher will come. I may not be your teacher, but the person will come to you. And if I believe that if you say, hey, I'm ready to learn, you take that first step, whether you use Sandy's course or another course, there's so many resources, like you said, out there. There are resources online. There are resources in your local spiritual churches, just all places. And I recommend online. A lot of times I search psychic development PDF free. The Mystic Board is very good. There are lots of places that you can get information. But let me ask you this. Have you had any formal training?
Yes. Most definitely. The best one was a medium I bumped into when I was looking for accommodation whilst I was in the armed forces. I was in the Royal Navy, and I wanted to get away from all that military atmosphere and ask some friends from a local spiritualist church, has anybody got a accommodation? And he said, well, there's only one person we know, but she's a bit old. I said, oh, and she's a bit weird. I said, oh, all right, then who is she?
Weird is good. I like weird.
Yeah, I said, that's more like it. I don't want a straight, normal, brackets, normal person. So they introduced me to this lady called Rose Lamb. And she was a typical eccentric lady that had books on books on books on books. The table was covered with, you couldn't see a table, you just saw books. Underneath, on top, around, everything. But she had a photographic memory. And she said, why do you want to live here? I said, well, I want to get away from the military. I want to learn more spiritual stuff. And she came on with all these different tactics. I said, cut the baloney. I want to be better than I am for everybody else. Not for me, but for other people. Good answer. She said, right, sit down. This is what you're going to do. And she cut out all the hearsays, all the waffle, all the nonsense. Said, this is what spirit are. This is how they work. This is what you need to do to talk to them. This is what you need to listen to them. This is how you pass on what they're telling you. You stop thinking. You start doing. To think is self first. To act is direct communication from spirit through your mouth, passing it on to somebody else. You don't think
exactly.
about what you're saying. But you take ownership of it.
You take ownership. And that's very important. When I teach psychic development classes, I always say the first thing that comes is always right.
Yes.
It's not your message to reinterpret or to make it sound right or be afraid of the outcome. You know, am I right? That's ego. You just deliver the message, whether you see it, whether you hear it, whether you taste it, whether you smell it. Or you feel it, and I involve all the senses in my teaching, but I say, you say it, you get the head out of it, you just repeat the message, just like you were transcribing. It's no different. You're psychically a transcriber, and I say that all the time, and it's funny, and when we teach classes, you see people will, I'll have people write down, we'll do ESP exercises where we'll send a picture, and you'll have people write down stuff, and when you go around and say, okay, what did you get? They may have wrote something down but didn't say it because they were afraid of being wrong. And boom, here you go. That's it. You guessed it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that definitely happens. I also know that you're working on the Mars Pratt. How much longer do you have for that? Because I know you're excited about that. That's a prestigious school.
Yeah, well, for somebody who's never passed an exam in his life, this is a whole new ball game. And my wife, God bless her, she loves me deeply, and I bless her for supporting me because she says, Graham, you've got a brain. You've just not learned how to use it. Now, with the Morris Pratt, I've had 30 lessons, 29 have been marked, and my score was so high, I phoned up the college and said, who's marking my scores? I questioned their marking facility. But when they told me exactly in detail what it was that they required, and I'd passed it, I started believing it. But the Morris Pratt Institute has helped me phenomenally. The background is they send you all the lessons with the study information so you can do it in your own time. Normally it's a 3-year course. But my spiritual guidance, I've done it a little bit longer because I've totally done it on my own with spirit, not in a class situation with other people doing it. And they've given me extensions. And I've just finished 29 classes, lessons, and I'm just on the last one now. So this
will help.
Well,
that's awesome.
Yes, it is. And the MS, Maurice Powell Institute, is the educational classes to do with the NSA, which is the National Spiritualist Association of Churches, which is like the governing body of spiritualism, that you are able to go around the U.S. in various places, all associated with the NSAC. So it's a really good, high standard, and it gets rid of the charlatans who make believe they are mediums and psychics, which I really do not get on with.
What I love about people like you, and I'll say myself too, and so many other psychics, is that they understand that it's not just an ability. Mm-hmm. It's almost an exercise. It's a lesson. It's a daily thing. It's almost like a singer. You can sing, and maybe you won a Grammy, but you still have to practice and hone skill, because it changes, and it can grow, and it can get better. And those that step up the bar and they say, look, okay, I'm doing good, and I'm doing a reading, so I've done 10,000 readings, and I'm doing good. But, hey, there's something else I need to learn. Maybe I need to learn a healing modality. Maybe I need to brush up on my people skills. There are always good things that we can branch out, and I feel that our guides and our teachers will bring these things to our path when we need them. So continue, if you're out there and you're psychic, or you're just branching out and you're wanting to come out of the psychic closet, as I say, definitely start looking for those teachers and realize that when you make that step, they will come to you, the information will flow, you'll have your aha moments where you'll say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just got that right. But you also know that it's not a done deal once you get to that point. It's a continual lesson. It's a continual training. And keep raising the bar because, like he said, we have a lot of people out there that are charlatans. And we need to make sure that if you're a medium, you can give evidential information. You want to know the name. You want to get dates. You want to have those, what I say, are aha moments or things that there's no way that you could pull out. You need those things. We need to up the bar. So let me ask you this. Have you ever dealt with any negative experiences? Because we've got a lot of people, you know, worried about getting out there in the psychic field because they say, look, I don't want to open Pandora's box. You know, I don't want to have the haunting in Connecticut. I don't want, you know, evil spirits or blah, blah, blah coming in my home, messing with my family. Have you dealt with any negative spirits?
Oh, yeah. One of the strongest ones I ever encountered was whilst I was in the Navy. It was back in the late 70s, early 80s, and I was visiting a friend's house and his girlfriend after coming back from sea for a while in Cornwall. And it was one of these really countrified cottages, and I'm sitting there while he's discussing welcome with his girlfriend, politely, and I'm sitting watching TV. But I'm seeing this murder scene, and the hairs on the back of my head were just standing way up, and I thought, oh, you know, what's happening here? And I watched this, what I thought was a TV. You know, I was zoned out, as it were, and I suddenly realised, hang on, this isn't TV.
This is reality TV.
This is reality on reality. And at the end of it, I was praying, I was singing, I was smelling lilac, which was my mother's favourite scent. So I knew my mother was in tune with me and my grandmother and everybody. And I thought, I've got to get out of here. And I thought, no, hang on a minute. This house is loved. The people in it are loved. The person that's come in is an outsider committing a horrible offence. This will not happen. It will stop. And because of my positivity and realising there's love, there's honour, there's trust, there's light, everything stopped. And the victim, I could see, smile and disappear.
So with intention and possibly pushing some positive energy in that space of negativity,
it
stopped it. And you know, sometimes we have what we call these, I call them little psychic hitchhikers. whiskers are, I call them, sometimes they just fly in, you know,
you've
they just kind of.
You've got a name for everything you are.
I do. I say they just fly in like a little, you know, paratrooper, and they come in and they try to wreak havoc, and you have to, you know, just paratroop them out of there. So that does happen, unfortunately, to people. But, you know, there are lots of things that you can do to circumvent that. And I don't know, because this is a new show, if people realize that they can call in, and we are doing, I always will do live readings. Graham may help us out with a couple as well.
Yeah,
and if
no
you'd like to, you like to call in, the 1-800 number to call is 888-627-688. I'm sorry. I'm going dyslexic. 888-627-6008. I'm going to put my teeth in, but first I've got to, you know, shake the bottle and pull them out and dry them. Okay.
Oh, Erica, may I just make a quick point?
Yes.
When people are trying to figure a way of going in the spiritual pathway, and they say, what can I do? Never say, I'm only going to do one thing. Never limit your abilities. Even if you seem good at one thing, don't just sit on one thing in your life, because it's all about experiences. You may be a very good clairvoyant, you may be clairaudient, you may be very good at clairsentient stuff. All these different gifts are used when required by spirit and the recipient.
Never I'm so glad you said
only
good
that. At one thing. Because I don't use any instruments. I don't use tarot, I don't use anything. Just my physical body is my instrument.
I am exactly that way. And what I will say is that when I first started out, I picked up soul cards because I didn't want any writing or any weird symbols on them. Soul cards were artistically drawn and they didn't have any words on them. So you had to rely on your intuition. And I never really turned the cards over. I just used them as a prop, technically. And, you know, just went with what I was getting through my senses. And I found that, like you said, if you try to limit yourself, because I wanted to be the best clairvoyant in the world. That was my goal. I wanted to have the movie going. And, you know, I was very clairvoyant, and I loved being clairvoyant. And then all of a sudden, my clairvoyance kind of took center or took backstage to my clairaudience. So now my clairaudience rocks, and my clairvoyance, kind of, it's in the backstage. So, yeah, those gifts will shift and change. And like you said, spirit will use you and these abilities how they see fit. And I also recommend people to realize that everybody has a different connection. It's not about that one is better, this one is better. Allow spirit and God to use you because you have that inner divine spring, and you just have to tap into it.
And also, one of the things to remember is the message that you give, your interpretation that you are passing as best you can, may not be directly for the recipient. It may be something to be passed on by the recipient at a later date. So never worry when somebody says, no, can't take that. No, that's rubbish. Because later on, maybe a day, month, year, whatever, they'll go, oh, now I know what they were on about. That's the aha moment.
The aha moment.
It's not always the aha moment when you want it to be. It's always when you need it.
Exactly. And I also strongly recommend that if you get a reading, wherever you get a reading, I usually take notes for my clients, and they usually can't read them afterwards. But I recommend that you take notes and date your readings. Record them and date them. Listen to them later on. And make sure that, you know, you're very responsible with your readings. Don't become, what I say, psychic junkie, because it's not productive for you. I believe that psychics and mediums are here to guide and help and assist you in your life path, but you have the ability within yourself, too, to rely on your own instinct and gut and psychic abilities to help co-create your life, too. All right, I want to talk a little bit about protections because, as I said before, a lot of people are, you know, watching this on television. They're wanting to experiment, and they're wanting to get out there, and they're wanting to reopen up their abilities, these latent abilities, but they're afraid. What kinds of protections do you recommend? You know, just a couple that you possibly would recommend that's not very expensive for people to kind of utilize.
Well, before I, well, when I was asked to come on the show, I didn't have a lot of warning. No, but that's the way it is. That's the way it is. And I'm always best when I'm tired, because I stop thinking when I'm tired. I just talk. And I always ask for guidance, the highest and best intention. You have to say, I wish to do it for the good of. And if you say the words, not just think them, you're giving them empowerment. You see, intention has to be 100% positive or 100% negative. You choose. And what you choose is what you will get. Because as I said earlier, you have to take ownership of what your intentions are. What you say, what you do, what you think. So for protection, believe in the light. Believe in God or the divine spirit. Whatever you feel comfortable calling the divine spirit, God, whatever. That is your intention. And when you've got that in your heart and you feel 100% comfortable with that, and I say 100%, not 99.9, because that little bit of a doubt normally is a big 100% of trouble. That's how you guide your intent. So you are protecting yourself by your intention. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. And I always say, too, is the cheapest thing to use is prayer, pretty much. And pretty much you've said that. And that a lot of people realize that when we pray, we ask, when we meditate, or when we sit back and we listen, we actually receive. And on that note, I'm going to talk about something that is also available on my website and also on my host page. There's something called my signature prayer box bracelet. And what I find that a lot of people, when they say a prayer, they hold on to it or they'll repeat it over and over again. I really need to get a good job. I really need to get a new job. And they pray over and over and over and over again. It's almost like you're knocking on the door and saying, God, listen to me, but just because you didn't hear me or maybe you weren't paying attention, I'm going to ask you about 50 times. So whether you buy my bracelet or not, find a way to release it. You know, I recommend writing it on a sheet of paper, releasing it, letting it go, not holding on, having the faith and the belief that once you put it out there, universe has picked it up, God, however you want to put the quotations in there, has picked it up and you're done with it.
Yep.
You've pretty much cut the cord. You let it go. But I have a wonderful, pretty silver bracelet with a cross and also some bling bling on the show page if you want to get one of those. It is a prayer box, and it helps you to let go and let God. So I also want to find out, how do we get in touch with you, Graham, if someone would want a reading or just wants to hear your accent? How would they get in touch with you? Are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook. You put my details perfectly on your own homepage on Facebook there, and also on the radio page at the bottom. You've put all the info there, but my telephone number is 352-409-1060. That's my cell phone number. Just leave a message and I'll always get back to you as soon as I can.
So if you're listening, you can click the show page information and add him on Facebook.
Yep.
And also add myself on Facebook, and you'll keep up with all of the different shows and different events that I do. We have coming up, which I really want to talk about because I'm very excited about this, in Pensacola, Florida, where I live, an event called the Pensacola Paracon 2011. It is a paranormal, horror, and sci-fi convention with I'm just in love with Coast to Coast, George Norrie. We also have Dr. Raymond Moody, who wrote Life After Life, who is a best-selling author.
Yeah,
lots of people like Ken Gerhard, who's been on Monster Quest, knows things about the Mothman, apes and everything you want to think of. Brian Hornwall from Ghost Hunters. So it's a convention with not just ghost hunting. We've got a little bit of the spiritual side, a little bit of the sci-fi, a little bit of the horror. And it is a family-oriented event. So if you're any place near Florida or you want to fly on out, You can find flights very cost effective. The rooms are $59, I believe, and the entrance, you would think that it's going to be $100. It's only $35 to get in the door. You can't beat that. To just even pitch a book to George Noory in person, I mean, $35. I also wanted to find out, with your readings, Graham, you said that you don't use a divination tool. What exactly would you do if I were in front of you and I wanted to get a reading? How does that reading go?
Well, normally I sit face-to-face or just slightly off from the table so I can hold the person's hands, because I believe physical contact as well as verbal contact and looking directly at the person's face. And nine times out of ten, I'm not looking at the face at all, but it's a face-to-face reading. It can be on the phone as well. I've done many phone readings. Normally, it's voice gives you the information. And I don't like being told, I want you to get in touch with Aunt Bessie because she died with a heart attack and she's about 5'6". I don't want that information. All I want is your name.
That's what I think I love about you, because I have people that call me all the time and they say, I want to set up an appointment and I want to talk. I say, stop right now. I said, I can't read you if you give me information. Stop right now. And that's very good and honorable for psychics and mediums to do that, because I always say that if I get the information from you, then why are you hiring me?
Yeah, I can't be doing that.
Let spirit give it to me, and then you validate it later on after we're all done. I don't really, during my readings, I don't even allow the client to say anything, because I close my eyes and I just focus on the message, and I don't feed into their verbal or their physical cues, because to me that's proving evidential psychic ability and mediumship, and that's my goal.
Don't be surprised what you get on those readings. Can I tell you one funny one, Erica? Okay.
Yes, please do share with us.
I was doing as a trainee over here, because I had to learn the American way of doing things, which are really different from the English way. And I was in a group, and I was asked to do readings in front of an audience. And for some reason, I was drawn to this elderly lady sitting on the front row with a younger lady next to her, obviously mother-daughter relationship. And every time I looked at the mother, I felt my mouth salivating, as though I got something stuck in between my teeth. And I kept looking at her, I thought, well, this is weird. I'm trying to talk to everybody else, and this lady, I see her, and my teeth start, as you can hear, you know, my mouth starts filling up with water, and I thought, why? And I, like, kept my teeth are in place. I don't have dentures, but I was checking they're in place, and I'm looking at her. I said, hang on, everybody, I was going to read over there, but this lady, did your mother have false teeth that didn't fit, or put one in the wrong way round all the time? And she just started to howl with laughing. And I was describing her mother so detailed with her teeth. The only time she could speak was with her teeth in. But when she wanted to eat, she took her teeth out. And she always put them in back to front because she didn't have any good eyesight. And it was just the weird way in which I connected with this woman who hadn't even said anything. It's just, every time I looked at the mouth, my mouth sort of got the same feeling. And the mother of the, how can I put it, is a grandmother that came through, the mother I was talking to, and her daughter, the mother was talking to the daughter saying, my teeth aren't fitting very good either, Graham. It was just the way we connected. And people said, well, how did you do that? I said, well, I listened to what my body was telling me. Because you pick up the psychic as well as the spiritual when you are a medium, because the medium means to pass through. Not to hold, not to keep, but to pass through. Whatever it is you are getting, you pass it through. No matter how weird it seems, pass it on. It's not, as you said earlier, it's not your message, it's spirit's. And you can have a real good laugh with it when you give it with heart, with good intention. And it surprises me every time how joyful it is to prove continuity of life.
Most definitely. And I have had some of the most hilarious gallery readings when I've done mediumship readings. I had one that was just unbelievable. I actually chose a garment to wear that matched a lady in the audience daughter had passed, and we were matching. We had matching garments, which was kind of really funny. I can't get into what kind of garment, but it was just really funny out of all things. But it's interesting, though, that spirit will work that way, and loved ones will come from the other side and give us some things that we just can't pull out of the hat. And a lot of times they're funny because they want these loved ones not to think about them when they're in the hospital bed, when they're suffering. They want them to laugh. They want them to feel the love that brings them back. And that's what I say to people. When you're right before you go to bed and you want to talk to Aunt Betsy, don't think about Aunt Bessie when she was sick and when she was in pain and you're crying and, you know, you're worried about if she's okay. You think about when Aunt Bessie was making you them buttermilk biscuits and y'all were laughing and, you know, flour was flying all over the place. That's the memory that will bring her back easier than that fear and that pain and that sorrow.
Because 9 times out of 10, the spirit don't remember the fear and the pain. They are there to try and help you better your life and a safer life. So they're not going to say, do this so you're going to get hurt.
No, they don't.
They say, do this so you can live better.
And they come back with such love, and they relay such messages
of love.
Never dies. And I honestly have had, you know, suicides and murder victims, because I am also a psychic detective, better known as the cold case psychic.
Yeah.
But the loved ones come back with just some of the funniest things, and they bring such unconditional love. Enough of that, but I love it about the spiritualism that they up the bar. They really do, and they really want to prove evidential mediumship, and they're really out there to, I would say, set a standard that we need as a community. So I really love that about them. And they explain things in ways that other churches don't. And I would say that if you're kind of not familiar with that movement, the Fox Sisters, because I've done a lot of research on it when lectures, the Fox Sisters were a very famous spiritualist movement, ladies. So check into that. And Graham, you are on your way to being something really, really big definitely in that society. And I'm so proud of you and your effort and all that you do.
Well, thank you. I don't see myself in that at all. I just want to help more people, reach more people, and show people every single day of my life. The job I do, everybody can do. And that is smile from within and pass it over. When you actually talk to people, do you look them in the eye? Do you treat them with a smile? Or do you say, oh, he's in a bad mood, I'm not going to talk to him? You instantly put barriers up, and it exacerbates a negative reaction. I don't care the most grumbly, angriest sort of customer I love, because they come in, negative, negative. I thought I was in a bad mood until I saw you, sir. Thank you. You've made my day. And it knocks them for six. They said, what do you mean? I said, well, you're angry. I thought I was angry until I saw you. You've proved I'm nowhere near being angry.
That everybody wants to change the world, right? But you got to start with yourself, and that's
a prime example
of how you can take someone who's in a bad mood, even in your coworker, and you can interact with them differently. You can put them in, I always say, pretty pink light, and I like bling, so I throw in a couple diamonds and sparklies in
there. Don't give me diamonds. I'm not really into diamonds or bling.
Before you know it, they're in a better mood, and they just don't know why. We're going to say again, if you want to call in and get a free reading, the number to call is 888-627-6008. That's a toll-free number, and you can call in, and we'll take your call. Okay, I also want to talk about, what do you do to find balance? I mean, I am a psychic medium, okay? I'm also an event planner, and I'm all these other titles. I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a friend, I'm a wild and crazy girl. What are the things that you do, Graham, to balance your life? Do you like to fish? Do you like to... What are things that you find that keep you balanced?
Talking to my wife, taking my dog for a walk, sitting with him, watching the hummingbirds, gardening, anything that's productive.
Okay.
You know, I'm a simple person, and I don't look for razzmatazz. I don't look for the limelight. I just enjoy living every day in a country that's got so much potential. In the warmth, being in Florida, it's a little bit warmer, but the potential is here and now. And with all this doom and gloom that we're living in, it's difficult to keep your spirits up. So don't watch the news. Don't read the newspapers, because you know you're going to get depressed. Talk to somebody that you know you can help, or they can help you. Take your dog for a walk, because the dogs need to be exercised. Or go and do something in the garden to grow something. There's no need to live in the negativity. You accept it and let it go. As you said earlier, what you do is pass it on to the God, divine spirit, and say, take it. I'm doing my bit the best I can. That's my break. That's my peace and harmony. I just enjoy being alive because I've had a good day. I've survived 24 hours. I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. But I don't live in tomorrow. I live for here and now.
Okay.
Doing the best I can.
A good point you mentioned, us taking some kind of responsibility for our lives and making the changes and accepting things and being, I would say, being having a sense of gratitude. Mm-hmm. Also want to inquire about healing because, you know, we've got a lot of things going on in the environment. We've got a lot of things going on in the economy. A lot of people are struggling with their own inner demons and their stress and their worries and concerns about maybe their financial circumstances. But I feel that there's a shift of healing. And I'm not talking about healing taking an Excedrin. I'm not talking about healing going to the shrink. I'm not talking about, you know, going to get your nails done and I feel better or going to get, you know, some kind of superficial cosmetic surgery. I'm talking about inner healing. I feel that there are a lot of people that have kind of got into realizing that we can heal self. And if I can heal self, then maybe there's someone out there that can teach me practical principles to help me better myself, change my thought process, and self-heal. And when you look at all these cancer survivors, the first thing they tell you is it's about attitude, gratitude, and how you live your life.
Positive.
So what do you think as far as you? Are you into any kind of healing modalities?
Oh, yeah, every day. Every single day. What do you eat? What do you drink? How do you rest? How do you play? How do you work? How do you get excited? How do you relax from enjoying life? All those things make you a complete person. It's not just one thing. It's a multitude of skills. People forget you only use three parts consciously of your brain. Your conscious brain, your subconscious brain, and what's called the superconscious brain, which is a spiritual link part. But we've still got seven other parts of the brain that we don't know what's happening with. But I think that part's working more than we realize. And that gives me hope that if I can start passing exams in my late 50s, there's hope for everybody. And it's because I think of how can I relax? How can I help somebody else? Because it's not about self-healing. You've got to be happy within yourself to pass on that happy energy to somebody else. So it's all how we interact with each other, always being positive. Because you see all this doom and gloom that's around, and we're all in the same boat. It doesn't matter who you are, if you've got millions of dollars or $1. We're all in the same boat.
I like on your Facebook page, you have a nice quote that says, "To live life to the fullest, we must do more than just breathe air. Give unconditionally to those you meet and be rewarded within. A lot of times people don't realize that smile that you give today could be a blessing that you get tomorrow. And, you know, the money that you give today, you may get it in sevenfold, you know, 2 weeks from now. But any positive thing that you do, I believe in the karmic bank. I believe that what you put in, you get out most definitely. And a lot of times what I think people don't realize is that do it in secret. Do it with the right intent. Don't do it because ego says I've got to stand up and make this claim or I've got to show these people that I can do this. Do it with the right intent, because when you do it with the right intent, you definitely get positive and, I'm going to say, mucho reward in the end. Most definitely.
One of the best.
Okay, we're going to take a call. Annette, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
Very happy to be here. I understand you were doing readings tonight.
We sure are. Did you have a question in mind?
I was just going to give my name and see what came, unless you'd like me to be more
specific.
Okay,
that's fine. All right, that's fine. What I'll start, and I'll let Graham pick up, because usually a tag team is better. say your name again, please, sweetie.
My name is Annette.
Annette, okay. What I get with you, Annette, is there's going to be a lot of changes going on in your energy, and I'm going to say more so with career, okay? I feel like I'm standing on a sidewalk about to make a big leap of faith. There's a lot of fear about this, but I'm going to tell you to take one little step, okay, and then take the big leap. The time to change is not now, but you do have change coming up with career. Now, I am in Florida, sweetie, so I have to explain this to you. I am west, and I'm making a big leap, like going from California to Florida. So you may see that you're going to make a major change or major jump or even a move, because that's what it feels like to me. And I'm shown that you're going to be like clapping up and down, hooray, hooray, hooray. You're also going to set some limits with this career, and you're not having to backtrack so much. You're not having to do the job of many. You do the job of you, which feels to be a positive move for me. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, Graham, I'm going to let you take it away.
Thank you, Annette. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, Graham.
Well, as I was listening to Annette and your voice was resonating, I could actually feel your nerves as though you're very apprehensive, as like you're almost eager, like your left hand is, oh, I want to grab hold of something and do something. Do you understand this?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's like you finally took the plunge, but you're afraid of what it's doing. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. Don't worry about it. That is not even the main step that you're going to take, because Erica was on about, you know, you're going to have a big leap. All you've done is taken the initial step. That's the hardest step you've done. So you can relax a bit more. But also, you've got to be careful what you're eating, because I think that you're changing your whole lifestyle, but you're forgetting about what you eat. Does that make sense to you?
Okay.
Because what you want to do, you need to be ready physically as well as mentally. At the moment, it seems more mental side that you're trying to sort out. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you get in there, but you've got to bring your body along with you, you know? You can't leave that behind. And that's it. You've got to start laughing more, getting out and relaxing more, because you can't make it all compartmentalized, isolating little things. You've got to bring it all out into the front so you're comfortable with it. It's not about other people. It's what you want to do for your best intention. Do you understand?
Yes.
Annette, I have someone on the other side. This is kind of interesting. They appear to me almost like a goth rocker. I have no idea why. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. They're young. It's a male. He's passed, and he's I don't know if he had black hair or he had black fingernails or he's just trying to appear like he's a rock star. I don't know, but I'm just telling you what I get. But he's doing the shame, shame, shame finger on you. And it's almost like he's saying you've picked up a bad habit, like either you're smoking and you shouldn't be. He's like shame, shame, shaming you. So I'm just going to say, if you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing health-wise, like smoking, drinking I'm not talking about so much, but I'm just going to say smoking, shame, 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 or maybe it's about you making some change, okay?
Okay. I don't smoke. It could be the junk food, though. I have started eating junk food.
That's why you're shaking. Too much sugar at the wrong time. Does that make sense?
What was the last thing you said, Graham?
Sugar. Eating food sugar. At the wrong time. Your body, the way the metabolic rate works, is you're getting hyper at the wrong time. You need to be watching what you are eating as well as exercising. Okay? Because you've been living on mental energy a lot and leaving the body behind.
All right, sweetie.
Right.
Thank you.
No sense in that.
Thank you for joining the show. Definitely check out our host page and add both of us on Facebook. And I'm still trying to figure out who this rock star guy is. It's really cool.
Is he a tall guy?
Thanks.
Yes, he is. And he's got like black on, and it's almost like he's a rock star. I have no idea why he's appearing that way to me, but it's just interesting.
Now, are you seeing side face or full face?
Full face.
Full face. I can take that. It's one of my grandmother's many boarders. She used to take people in and look after them for a bit until they got themselves sorted. And one was a rock star.
Okay.
Well, rock star local to her.
Okay.
You know, he played in a local cricket club. You know, he was really well known.
That does happen.
Yeah,
I call them those random guys that just come in and they talk to me and I don't know who they are.
yeah, that's one of them.
All right, sweetie. Thanks for joining
thanks
the show.
For
and definitely call us back another time and you have a great night, okay?
Thank you. You too, also. Thank you. Blessing.
All right.
No problem.
We're talking to Graham Williamson, a psychic, intuitive medium, however you want to classify. He's awesome. And I want to find out from you, Graham, do you think that people should be trying to, let's just say, get into or dabbling in the paranormal? What? Because I know that you do paranormal investigations.
Mm-hmm.
What are your feelings about? We talked about psychic ability. Okay, everybody has it. It's just about relearning, you know, tapping into that ability. But what about the paranormal? Is that different? And if so,
yes.
What is different about it?
Well, the paranormal is about things that go bump in the night. In everybody's home. You know, people are afraid of looking under the bed when they're kids, or in the closet, or in the garage, or the shed, or whatever. It happens all around us. And to dabble is a wonderful word to say, getting into trouble up to your neck. Because you need to learn what to do. You need to learn the safeguards. You need to learn how to investigate properly and safely and with permission, because 9 times out of 10 you're happy with your home, but you want to go to that one at the end of the street, the one that scares everybody. Why? Because you feel drawn to it. But what are you being drawn by and with what? So
good point.
You've got to learn the basic safeguards. You've got to have good intention. You've got to know what to do. So join a club. Read up on it. There's many excellent websites. And Erica Busaini has a wonderful way of doing things. There you are. There's a plug for you, gal. But
Thank you. Plug, plug.
But it's no laughing matter. Paranormal investigation is a serious thing. Or it should be. Because
and
it's proving.
We'll probably delve into that. We'll probably have some of our paranormal peeps come up and talk about the dangers of paranormal investigations
in
a future.
Played with.
Yeah, in a future show. But, you know, the biggest thing I would say is that it's not one of those things that you just jump into, I want to go have fun. It's you have a spiritual responsibility to respect the living and the dead, and that's a motto that I have.
Yeah.
And I want to, because we're almost about to, the show's about to end, I want to have you make sure you tell us how to get in touch with our guest tonight, Graham Williamson. Tell us how we find you on Facebook. I know you're on the link, but you are on Facebook. You just Google his name.
Yep.
And then do you have an email address that they can contact you at?
I sure do. And you'll have to explain it in American for me. But the name is TheBrit77. It's thebritt77@hotmail.com. That's my email address. Anybody want to message me? No problem at all.
That almost reminds me of the psychic 007, the Brit.
Oh, well, this Brit was born 7th of July. That's why 7-7.
Oh, wow.
I'm
so a lucky
PG
person.
Tip. Yeah, I'm a Brook Bond PG tip man, not James Bond.
Oh, okay. And, well, it's been my pleasure being on tonight, and I hope that you stay tuned for next Sunday, same time, same psychic station. This is Erica Busserhaney with Whispers from the Heart, where we bridge your heart with the spirit world. And definitely check us out at coldcasepsychic.com. And if you'd like to schedule a reading with Graham or myself, you can get that information on our Facebook page, which is also located on the host page. It's, again, been my pleasure to have you on tonight, Graham.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing you again and your wife, and you have a wonderful evening. And if you want to get the best programming in town, make sure you stay tuned to our next host on the BBC. BBS.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I fully enjoyed it.